This morning we're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's some pew Bibles underneath the chairs there. We're going to be at page 1161 if you're not familiar where the books are. Ephesians chapter 4, this is a sermon similar to one that I did shortly after coming here in 2015. Is Frankenstein real? I had a little girl tell me at Awana this week that really didn't work. She didn't really like it. She said, it doesn't really work. Okay, well, that's fine. We're going to do it anyway. So the whole idea is that Frankenstein real, and you sit there and think, okay, what does that have to do with the church, right? Well, think about the story Frankenstein and what we studied already in Ephesians. Because what was Frankenstein? He was this monster created by what? Different parts from different cadavers, right? Dead bodies, as we would call them. Kind of stitched together, brought to life through electricity and then terrorizing the neighborhood, right? I mean, that's kind of what the thing of Frankenstein was. But the theme that I want to take from that is this idea that we were nothing more than dead bodies as well, right? Stitched together by God's grace, made into one body, and made alive by Christ. And now here we are, different parts, trying to work together. Now, the interesting thing about a church is that we're stitched together as infants, where Frankenstein was an adult, right? But we're infants, and we're supposed to grow together. And that's really difficult when you have different parts that's not used to being together that are now supposed to work together and grow together. Well, Ephesians is talking about that very thing. The sermon idea is this. Ephesians describes dead people brought to life and assembled as one body for one purpose, all by God's grace. In this body, each of us have a role as we grow together in unity, and this role is accomplished by God's grace as we show love to each other. This is what Ephesians 4 talks about. We're going to do a little brief review here as we get through this, okay? In the introduction, we're going to do a little review on what we've talked about so far. The first part of Ephesians talks about our position, who we are as Christians, all right? Because we understand that our position is guaranteed by God himself. My position will never change. But in Ephesians 4 and 5 and 6, we're going to talk about the human condition, because the human condition fluctuates every single day, right? I mean, you guys, come on, you guys who have kids, you know that one day your kid is great and the next day you want to trade him in for something, right? Because the human condition varies just a few minutes sometimes, right? The human condition varies, but our position is guaranteed. So we're going to talk about this. It's a review time. Ephesians 1:7 says we need redemption, all right? The verse says this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So Ephesians starts out with this whole idea that we need redemption, we need forgiveness. We need that. Well, why do we need that? Well, we go into Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and it says we are born dead. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 2 says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So understanding that all of us were once dead. We talked about the walking zombies, right? We were all zombies, the walking dead. That's who we were at one time. So we need redemption because we were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. We were just messed up people. But then what happened to us? Well, Ephesians 2:5 says we are made alive by grace. Look at this. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You see this dead body, these dead people made alive again, this whole Frankenstein story that happens, this is what it is. And then the Bible says that we're brought together because in Ephesians 3:6, we are united through the gospel. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. So we have all these different people brought together by Christ, by God's grace, all right? For by grace you've been saved through faith. We understand that's what Ephesians says. So just understanding the scripture that we see a whole bunch of people that were once dead, okay, walking around this world dead, made alive by Christ, stitched together into one body, and now we're to grow in unity, grow in love. We talked about that just this last week. Not very easy. This is what God says. Well, let's dive in. We're going to look at this long passage today, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. There's a lot in here. We're going to get through it. It's going to be awesome. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul speaking. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God, we're coming to you today. We're studying your word. And God, I know that these words came from you. These aren't just the Apostle Paul's words. These are words that you inspired him to write. God, they're your words. And today as we read these, I ask that you would help us apply them to our own lives. We can see how we, as a part of this body, how each of us have a role and what it is we can do. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us never forget that our position is sealed by you because of our faith in you through your grace. But our condition, Lord, our condition is something that all of us can do something with. It's up to us to do something with that, God, through the sanctification process. Lord, help us as we learn this today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this is going to be kind of a fun one today. You're going to like this. John Woolford says this. He says, having explained the unity of Jewish and Gentile believers, having prayed for that unity through mutually experiencing Christ's love, Paul now showed how they were to walk in the unity of that body. This is the condition. All right. Talked about the position. Now we've got the condition. All right. This is accomplished by gifted people given to the church by Christ so that the body of Christ might grow up in all areas. Again, we're a body stitched together as kids. We're just one little kid body, and we're supposed to grow in this. And there's going to be some times of struggles in there. We're going to talk about this for just a minute. So what do we do? So I'm a part of the body of Christ. Now what? Right? You ever ask that question? So I go to church. What am I supposed to do at church? Do I have a role in this? Absolutely. If you're a part of Grace Baptist, if you're a regular attender, if you're a member, whatever it is, you have a role here at Grace. And it's not a Pastor Bear-given role. It's a God-given role. God has something he wants all of us to do. And the first thing here is live worthy of your calling. He says that there in Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And then he describes what it looks like. He says this, be humble. Now that comes naturally to most of us, right? You can laugh at that. Seriously, you can laugh at that, okay? I mean, we sit there and recognize, you know, if I wasn't so great of a person, it'd be easier to be humble. I'm not prideful, I'm just candid. Right? God created a wonderful thing, and I'm one of those wonderful things. We do these things, don't we? We're just candid with each other. Well, this whole humility thing is hard. And it's interesting to me that in two scriptural passages, when he introduces the body of Christ, the first thing that he mentions we need to do is be humble. Why does God do that? Because we're kids and we don't get it the first time, right? Okay, he's repeating himself. Be humble. Why do we have to be humble? Because oftentimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And Romans 12 introduces, he just got done talking about the body. And he's going to bring this whole thing back in. Romans 12, he says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members. You see this? You guys are all one body. Be humble. Why do we have to be humble? Well, because pride is a real thing in all of our lives. And pride can destroy anything. Ask Adam and Eve. Pride is a killer. And the first thing we got to do is be humble in all of this. Be humble. That is not easy. It's God's command. Be humble. Be gentle. Be gentle with one another. I'm going to tie this together with the next one. Be patient. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Now, I've got a question. These two here, be gentle and be patient. When are we normally tried in those two areas? And I use the word tried intentionally. It's not when things are going good, is it? It's when things are going bad that we're tried a little bit, when we have to be patient. We have to be gentle. Anybody here ever driven in Omaha during rush hour? All right? We used to live in Omaha. It's easy to be patient when you hit every light green on the way to work. What happens when you have every light red? You're not quite so patient anymore, are you? When every time you try to do something, you hit another obstacle and another obstacle and another obstacle and another obstacle. It's not so easy being patient. And being gentle, don't even think about that, right? I mean, these bumper cars are coming out, okay? This is what happens. It looks like it. That's why you see all these crazy things that you see, because we don't understand this. Be gentle, be patient. We don't get it sometimes. And so what's he saying? When he says, be humble, be gentle, be patient, do you see the underlying theme here? The underlying theme is that we're going to have what? Difficulties. We're going to have trials. God guarantees that we as a church family are going to have times when we're going to feel pressure by somebody else within this church family. It's guaranteed. So if you go home today and you feel offended by something I've said, then congratulations, God's word is still true, right? Because it happens, okay? When you come in wearing a Husker shirt, all right, that means you're just not saved. No. Sorry, Jim and Arlene. Just means you're picking on me a little bit, right? We understand that there's going to be times when we're going to have some buttons pushed, right? And we know that, whether it's kids with kids, whether it's spouses with spouses, boss, employee, people here in the church, friend to friend, your buttons are going to be pushed. And when those moments happen, what's God say? Be humble. Don't think of yourself more highly than you're not. You're no better than anybody else. We aren't. We are no better than anybody else. But it's easy to think of that. Well, I would never do what they did. Well, that may be true. You may never do that specific thing, but I can guarantee there's some things in your life you have done that they would never do, right? If we look at our lives, none of us are perfect. We're all broken. Be humble, be gentle, be patient, and finally, I like this, put up with each other in love. I like how he says this. He says, look, in verse two, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Sometimes you just got to put up with each other, don't you? Sometimes you come to church and, man, I don't really want to see this person today. I hope I don't. And then you see them and they come up and you want to shake your hand and be all happy, happy. And, you know, I will share the name of Jesus through gritted teeth, okay? Because sometimes we just got to do that. And what's Paul say in Romans? He says, as much as possible, live at peace with one another. That's the same thing. Put up with each other. Yes, you have a pastor who's a little different. A lot different. All right, so sometimes you got to put up with that. There's some different idiosyncrasies about me, okay? But there's some in all of us. That's what makes us unique as people, but what complements us as a church. Think about this for a minute. We're going to look at gifts here in a second, but I'm going to jump ahead. With you and those of you who are married, how many of you have the same, like, let's think about it this way. My wife and I are completely different. We took spiritual gifts inventory, and we are like an X, all right? So her high is over here, and my high is over here. And her low and my low, okay? We're completely flipped. She is high in administration. She's gifted. That is my lowest. Can you see some tension maybe in our marriage? I hate bookwork. I hate paperwork. I hate dealing with bills and credit cards and all that stuff. And she wants them done. And so she puts them on the desk as a subtle hint that it needs to be done. I don't get it. I don't understand. What? What do you want me to do with that? Right? So it's tension, right? You see that? At the same time, I love being with people. I love being with people. And so, hey, let's have this person over and that person over. And she's like, whoa, whoa, time out. Right? Like, what do you mean you don't like people? I don't like people, okay? It's not that bad, all right? She does like people. But we're flipped. I can go to a party, and I go home just feeling excited. And she goes to a party, she comes home drained, okay? But we complement each other, don't we? And in the church family, we're going to have people here who are gifted in different ways. The problem is when you want everybody to be like you. We would have major problems if my wife said, look, I love administration, therefore you're going to love administration. Well, that's not how God made us. God made us, she loves administration so she can take care of some of those things. Those in FPU, Dave Ramsey says what? Whoever should run the checkbook is the one who does math better, right? Sometimes it's the guy and sometimes it's the girl. In my family, it's the girl, okay? I am not a math whiz. So she runs our budget. And that's fine because that's how God gifted us. At the same time, I'm the one that deals with salespeople. Why? Because she'd eat them. All right? This is what we do. We complement each other just a little bit. In the church family, we're going to have those very same things. And that's okay. In the end, we got to put up with each other. That's what God wants us to do. Galatians 6 says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Do you see the same themes? Humility, gentleness, putting up with one another. Do you see the same things here in Galatians? What we're supposed to do. And it's interesting, he who is spiritual. How many of us in here can claim to be spiritual? The first one that stands up and say, you got a problem already, right? I mean, I'm so proud I'm humble. That's what that sounds like, okay? Let's admit it. Sometimes we have problems. We do. But we're supposed to be gentle. In the middle of those problems, we're gentle, we're patient, understanding that all of us could go down that same path. Every single one of us could. All right, and then he gives us a little interjection in the middle of this idea of unity. He gives us a little interjection in here. In verse 4, there's one body and one spirit. Just you recall the one hope that belongs to your call. We're going to talk about this. There's seven, I'm going to call them seven stitches that God used to bring us together. The seven stitches that he used to bring this church, this Frankenstein, if you will, this spiritual Frankenstein together. There's one body. He says there's one body, there's one spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, one body, that's us, a group of believers. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one hope. What is that hope? Our hope is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we have. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's it. There's one Lord. One Lord. That's Jesus Christ. He is Lord. One faith. Okay? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism as a symbol of that faith. This isn't baptism of the Spirit is talking about. This is the baptism as a testimony of our faith that we have in one God. God the Father. These are the stitches that hold us together. And we sit and think about this. The common ground we have with each other is huge. Here's the thing. Sometimes we look at their personality differences and we say, I don't like you because you're this. I don't like you because of this. And we forget the things that we are. We have more in common. We were talking about this. Where was we? Sunday school last week. In Sunday school last week. Thank you, babes. We were in Sunday school last week talking about what we have in common with those around us. And the comment was made, we have more in common with a Christian, okay? Think about this. With a Christian, you have a Christian who voted for Hillary and a Christian who voted for Trump. And you think, how is that possible? But the Christian who voted for Hillary and the Christian who voted for Trump have more in common than the Christian who voted for Trump and the non-believer who voted for Trump. Think about that. But what do? We say, well, I don't agree with you politically, therefore we can't be friends. When in reality, you're still one body, one spirit, one hope. You see that? There are people in our church that have political differences, but there's still, we have more in common with them than we do with a non-believer who agrees with us 100%. But we forget that sometimes. But that's the spiritual truth. Do not forget the common ground that we have. Do not forget these seven stitches. Yeah, we're different. We have different opinions, different ideas, but we still have more in common than we do with non-believers. Regardless of where that non-believer stands, we have more in common with each other. And because of that, there should be a sense of unity within us. So then Paul jumps back in. He talks about these seven stitches, and he jumps right back in this. And he says down here, he says, now look, we need to live worthy of the gifts that we have. Ephesians chapter 4. Talks about, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. All right, you see the gift? Therefore, it says, and talks about Christ for just a moment, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And then this parenthetical statement, I like this. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And you think, Pastor, what's he saying there? Well, I'm going to put this in plain English. How could Christ go up if he didn't come down? Does that make sense? Paul's like, how? You got to remember, Christ was here. He came to this earth, and then he also went back up. He came down, he had a relationship with us, and he went back up. Don't forget that Christ was also one of us. Don't forget that Christ knows what he's talking about because he's lived our life. He ascended to heaven, absolutely, but first he descended in order to build what we have. This is what Christ did. Don't forget what Christ did. He came down, he went back up, and then when he went back up, what did he do? He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's exactly what he did. So live worthy of our gifts. He gave some of us different gifts. That's what we see here. We all have different gifts. I can play the radio. That's the only musical instrument that I can play. All right? I can play the radio. I'm really good at that. I can turn it up loud. I got nothing. All right? I have zero rhythm. My lovely bride loves laughing at me trying to do jumping jacks because jumping jacks take rhythm. I got nothing. Okay? It is a joy to watch me try to do jumping jacks. I don't even try anymore, all right? Because it is pathetic. Some of you here, though, have great rhythm, all right? You're fantastic. You can pat your head and rub your tummy the whole nine yards at the same time, and the rest of us are like, how do you do that? Because you got rhythm, right? Some of you are very good at people, being around people. Others are good at the paperwork thing, right? Administration, relationships, the differences. Some of you are good at, you just like behind-the-scenes stuff. You're good with your hands. Some of us are just good at making people feel loved and welcomed. We all have different gifts. We're here to complement each other. Okay? Not wish that that person was like me, because can you imagine what this church would be like if everybody was like me? Who would preach on Sunday morning? It'd be a nightmare around here. I couldn't get you guys to be quiet, right? I've been myself, and it's terrible. I about got kicked out of a marriage conference one time, me and my wife. The guy's like, dude, what's wrong with you, all right? Long story. Anyway, we are all different. God made us different for a reason. We have different gifts. 1 Peter 4 says this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is the one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And I love that. In the end, it's all about God's glory, isn't it? What we're here about? We're here about God's glory. Yeah, we all have different gifts. And so, of course, the question is, have you thought about your gift? Have you thought about that? Because you have a gift. There is some ability that God has given you. And I don't know what it is, but there's some ability God has given you. Question, are you using that ability? Is God leading you to use that gift? Say, you know what? I've never thought about doing that, Pastor Bear. I've never thought about that. You know, I've never thought that maybe I could play the piano, or I could play the drums, or I could play the guitar, or I could come in and do some volunteering and kind of help clean up the office, because, Pastor, I could look in your office and see that you are not organized, right? Absolutely, okay? There are things that we can do. We have two people that work in the library because they are good at organizing things. We need things done around the church here. There's lots of ways that we can serve. Sometimes we serve others in our church family who need help in one area that they're just a little weak in it, so we can send somebody, hey, you need help setting a budget? Well, here's somebody who's good at setting a budget. They'll come in and they'll help you with that. Have you thought about using your gift for the sake of others, for God's glory? We all have gifts. What's yours, and are you using it? We all have different gifts, but we all have the same purpose. First Peter talks about that glory of God, and in Ephesians, he brings this passage on. He says, we're here for unity. That's why we're here for. So Ephesians 4, going back there. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God in mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at this. Unity and maturity. That's what we're striving for. We as a church need to be unified, and as we become unified, then we become more mature as well. God wants us to be a mature church. And yeah, there are going to be times we're going to act like kids. Let's face it, we do. Even as adults, we do, right? Sometimes we do this. But in the end, God wants us to work on the unity, to become mature for his glory. That's what he wants, all for his glory. Now, the so what section. And this is interesting. I want you guys to think about this. We do not make the unity, but we are tasked with keeping the unity. All right? Look, go back to Ephesians here. We're going to back up to Ephesians chapter 2. So just a couple chapters back. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he, that's Christ, might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. It's interesting, this whole context is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, and he's talking how he brought them together. He might create in himself, okay, through himself, one new man in place of the two, so making peace. We weren't the ones that made the peace. We weren't the ones that made the unity. Christ, through faith, has brought us together by his grace. He's done this. So he's the one that unified us, but we are the ones that's tasked with it. And here's the good news. You're going to love this one. Warren Wiersbe says this. The spiritual unity of a home, a Sunday school class, or a church is a responsibility of each person involved. And the good news is, and the job never ends. Well, that's depressing, Pastor Barry. Well, you know what? Sometimes it is. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes you just want to be done, don't you? Why can't this problem be fixed? You ever have problems like that where you see people and why can't we just get this figured out and get it over with? Sometimes we don't. We call those things holiness testers. They say in every church that there's a holiness tester for every person. There's one person that just kind of tests you to see, are you really holy today? And you just grit your teeth when you see them. You have a holiness tester. We all have holiness testers, right? We do. I don't want to know how many of y'all think it's me, okay? I know there's a few of you out there because you tell me every week. I'm very kind of you. All right, but this is what we know. We know the job never ends. God brought us together. God made us unified. He stitched us together. But it's our job to stay together. And that job will never, ever end. It continually changes. We continue to see progress. We continue to see growth. I mean, look at where church is now. I mean, we see these different things. We see the love that we have for each other, but it's easy to shut it down. It's our job to maintain the unity. And it's hard. And how do we do that? We're humble. We're patient. We're gentle. We put up with each other. That's what we do. Simple formula, but very difficult to do. That's what God's called us to do in all of this. So what? Well, love is a vitamin the body of Christ needs for growth. Let's look back at that Ephesians chapter 4 passage. Ephesians 4. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And then he gives the opposite. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Love is the vitamin that we need for growth. When you ask people who come to our church for the first time, what was it that made them come back the second time? Because they felt loved. When you ask a church or a husband and wife, what is it that kept you guys together in the middle of the stress? Well, I loved them. May not have liked them very much, but love was there. Love is the vitamin that we all need. Go back to that 1 Peter 4 passage. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. I don't know what's going to be the future of Grace Baptist. I don't know what God has for all of us, but I know what God wants from us. And I can't guarantee that I'm always going to respond every time like I should. When stressful times come, when hard times come. But Rachel and I was talking this last Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday morning, we were talking about how much we love being here. And we mention this frequently, and I know I say this to you guys, but I want you to know today, as your pastor, I love you guys. We have fun picking on each other. We have fun laughing together, and I love that, okay? I'm not at all offended in those times, but I love being here with you guys. And I hope that God continues to take this love that we have for each other and continues to bond us together, and that we continue to attract people around us as we grow. A body stitched together with a bunch of dead parts and broken people. But through love, we can grow. And that's my prayer for Grace Baptist. God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what you have done. And Lord, I feel very strongly that you're not done yet. And Lord, as we as a church family bond together and continually try to stay united, we're going to have moments where we're going to need to be gentle. We're going to need to be patient. We're going to need to just to put up with each other. God, in those moments, I pray that the hurt would be overshadowed by the love that we have for each other, the common ground that we have. Help us as a church. God, please unite us. Keep us united. Keep us focused on one another, not ourselves. Keep us humble. And in the end, it's all for your glory, God. And we ask this in Jesus' name.